Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horns on this glorious Tuesday. And, well, we saw a dramatic reversal again on Monday. Interestingly enough, the 1950 level kind of held again, and of course now we have gone lower. Now it's interesting because we felt, and we stated yesterday, that we felt this was the upper end, and of course it shouldn't be of any great surprise that the markets look to be in trouble. I think you've got a lot of things going on, but before we get there, I just want to get your thoughts on something not business related, the Oscars. Did everybody hate the Oscars as much as I did? I thought it was a terrible show. I did write a piece on the political statements that would be made by those who were getting the awards, which, you know, again, when you've got, you know, millions and millions of dollars, you can get $40 million to do a picture, and you've locked yourself up so tight through all your tax loopholes and breaks, why wouldn't you, you know, come out and say, well, let's, you know, raise the minimum wage or whatever? I mean, I don't know. I just think that that's not the right forum. I don't get it. I'm pretty disappointed about that. I think that that becomes a problem, and it kind of, I find it disappointing myself, but I'm just curious what your views were. But here we are. You know, markets close out the month of February. Or the Dow did gain, okay, not much, but it did gain, you know, I don't know, about $20. The other indexes were down. So does that, what does that hold for our March now, okay? Does that mean that we're going to start to see that selling we've been looking for? Well, I think one of the things you have to recognize and understand is that we are going to see both sides, okay? Markets don't go, or shouldn't go, straight in one direction. Markets will go, they will trend in a direction, which we've done for the last, you know, 6 or 7 years. But you will see sell-offs in an up market and rallies in a down market. And I think all we recently have seen is a major rally in a bear market. I think we go lower. I think that this is the sign. Again, you can't chase them down. You have to wait your turn and wait for the rally to come to you. Because, again, I can give you all the statistics and reasons that we should go lower, but that doesn't mean anything. Now, I'm going to give you a perfect example, and I made a terrible call on Monday in Valiant Pharmaceutical. I sent out a special trade on Friday to get in, and it was an earnings trade, and we played it neutral, okay? And we needed $10 on either side to get even for the trade. And Valiant opened down, and I said that myself, man, this should be much lower. Why isn't it much lower? And it held and it held and it held, and then it kind of rallied on a short-term chart a little bit. And I go, well, hell, let's take the money and you know, lock in and have a free trade. And sure enough, late in the afternoon yesterday, I don't know, right about 3:30, 3:45, whatever, Valiant crapped out. They had bad news. And again, I don't blame the bad news. I mean, it was right at a spot that I thought I was doing everybody a favor. Fortunately, I wish I was in the car where I couldn't do anything, because it obviously collapsed, costing myself and everybody else not profit, well, a potential profit, not a loss. I mean, that we did well. But at the end of the day, that's what happens, and that's what you always have to be prepared for. That's why we focus so hard on market levels and market footprints, because that is where you find it. And of course, again, this time it didn't work, but, you know, I don't worry about that. It's irritating, because obviously it cost myself a lot of money, but it costs other people, you know, more potential profit. And that always pisses me off. But anyways, you know, a lot of things going on, and I think the biggest thing to look at here is, again, the deflationary spiral, the deflationary cycle we're in. You know, deflation is not good. It's not good for anybody, because when the goods are going down, that costs jobs, money, entrepreneurship, it costs everything. It costs you everything because you can't get the flow. Now, a recession isn't good either, because you can overcome through a recession because you can still make profits. You may not have as much sales, but you can make profits. Now, not only are we not making profit, but we're having trouble selling goods, which makes it even more of a problem. And the bigger problem is, of course, is that if you listen to me, I say the middle class has never left the recession that they say we're out of. So that becomes even a bigger problem. And, you know, it just shows you the ignorance and the incompetence of our leaders. They felt they could print and borrow their way out of debt. And of course, could they not learn from Japan that it doesn't work? You know, the old saying is, those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it, something of that nature. I mean, could you not see that? Was that not the clearest picture available, that Japan has tried this for 30 years without success? What were they thinking? And you can go back to Alan Greenspan, you know, everybody's idol, but what are they thinking when they felt that they could turn this thing around, okay, and get the ship to turn, because they were going to print more money and create more debt? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And it pisses me off that we are going to have to once again subsidize these jackasses because they can't see the forest for the trees. Now, you tell me, what is the logical step next? And I guarantee you they won't do it. You can bet your ass that they're going to do something stupid again that's going to create a bigger problem, because they have now backed themselves so deep into a corner that they can only do a desperate measure. Desperate people do desperate things, and they're going to be desperate. And you can bet QE4 is around the corner, because this falling, failing economy is destroying and destructing everybody. Okay? From our manufacturers to our farmers and producers to the entire picture, the Federal Reserve and the central banks around the world have single-handedly destructed everybody. And then them jackasses at the G20 meeting, you know, let's control our currencies. You don't think that they're not in cahoots together, do you? Come on. I mean, this is silly. This is kooky talk. These guys are such bozos when it comes to running this ship that it's going to create an unbelievable meltdown. And once again, the poor middle class will be left holding the bag, you know, and just when everybody was telling us how good things were going and that the savings rate was up. You know why the savings rate is up? Because people don't want to spend. That's why the savings rate is up. They're not saving. They want to spend. They're dying to spend. But they're not making any money. It's hard to spend when you're not making anything. That's the problem. Okay? So this is obviously a bitter pill to swallow as well. But it is what it is, and we'll have to deal with it, and we'll get our way out. But that is something that has to be reckoned with. In the meantime, you have to reckon with our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders, by far the best options and trading platform available to you. I get a break from them, and I can help you out. Just email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com, and I'll help you get hooked up and get you a better rate. You know, if you ever miss an episode, we are now getting over 200,000 downloads a month. Make sure you're one of them at libertytalk.fm. Get you the show anytime you miss it. And at the end of the day, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, and I'm going to chill out and take a blood pressure pill. And we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, this Tuesday, March 1st edition. And here we are, March coming in like a lion. Okay, or we should say a bear. I saw a cute cartoon over the weekend, and it was a bull taking a bow on stage and the bear in the background saying, not yet. And I think that's kind of what, you know, I've said this for the last couple of weeks. It really felt like the Bears were kind of sitting on the sidelines waiting to come in. And it was like they were waiting. And I think they finally showed up yesterday about noon and started to say, you know what? Okay, we're good. We're good enough here. Now, you know, one of the things that, you know, we continue to ignore here is the latest tech bubble. Have you realized, other than the famous big stocks that you all know, all the tech that has gone under, including Twitter? I mean, it's not under yet, but it might as well be. And what's happening to the cybersecurity stocks? How much trash they've got? Now, you would think that in a country that we have now, with all the cybersecurity and all these things going on, that the cyber stocks would be exploding, and of course they're getting crumpled. What is the deal with that? So did we create another internet bubble? Which is what, that's what our Fed and central banks like to do. They like to create bubbles. Okay. Did you realize that we now have over $1 trillion in distressed debt? Now, you might not think that sounds like much, but just to give you a comparison, and I can't get out to a trillion, but I'm going to give you the difference between a million and a billion. A million seconds in time takes 12 days. A billion seconds in time takes 33 years. Okay? So you can do the math out to a trillion now. Okay? And imagine that we have a bigger debt today, a bigger credit crisis than we did in 2008. Okay. Now, we've got more distressed S&P companies than we had in 2008. Now, again, I'm not telling you this is going to be 2008. I just want you to understand where the logic is and how these dopes can continue to tell us how good things are going. Okay. And how great the jobs are. I mean, I told you here that the payroll tax is down. So I don't care how many people are working, although not many are. The money that's being paid in, which is not negotiable and not deductible, is less. Okay. Now, this is always my big concern. And this is what happens a lot in times of trouble. Okay. Or in times of boom. We got the banks. And now, once again, they're trying to figure it out anyway to get into your pocket. And I'm sure many of you have started to receive those 0% financing checks where you can write yourself a check, pay off an old bill or whatever. Or, you know, we see 0% down, 90 days, same as cash. All those fancy deals that banks offer. Do you know why they offer those deals? You ever read the fine print of one of those contracts? Okay. The fine print simply states that if you don't pay by the agreed terms, and there is a minimum that you have to pay every month, but again, that's fine. But if you don't pay off in full by the agreed terms, your money, your balance reverts back to the full amount at full interest, which is usually a usury rate. Now, obviously, you've paid in. However, the interest rate gets calculated on the full balance from the beginning. So if it's 22% or 16% or 20%, you're getting hosed in. Now, the problem and what they're preying on, okay, is that we want to buy something and we need some money, whatever reason is, they're hoping and preying on the fact, the other kind of preying now, is that that you won't be able to pay on time, so they'll get you hooked. And you'll be paying off that loan for 30 years, like a mortgage. Okay. That is a problem that I think that we don't understand. And again, you know, who reads the fine print? Okay. And so when you find out and all of a sudden you walk in and you bought a TV set, it's 0% same as cash, you know, over 12 months, You know, because they'll be coming out, you know, here any day now for the NCAA tournament. You know, get Best Buy, get that TV set. You got to have the big screen, you know, and you'll get that, you know, $900 TV set for a year or 18 months, and you won't be able to pay it off. And then in 18 months, that $900 TV set will cost you, you know, $2,200. So be careful. Again, you know, we talk a lot about the fear mongers, but we don't talk about the guys that come up to you and pat you on the back and say, hey, can we help you out? Okay. And, you know, you look at what's going on. The Dallas Fed reported yesterday that they're in a recession. Well, gee, really? But of course, they're in a bigger recession because their main core product is oil. Okay. But of course, let's not forget that when one industry goes bad, okay, now the oil business is bad, so they have less people working, which means that not only are the people working less that were working, they're not making as much or money again. But now who else suffers? Well, all the gas stations suffer, all the food places, all the restaurants suffer. Everybody suffers because now people aren't working because they're not going to lunch, they're not driving their car. So think about all of the businesses that get affected by one business. So we can talk about the oil and how it's the same as the market. Of course, yesterday the oil was up $1 and the market was down 100, but who's counting? I mean, I told you it was not correlated, and I still stand by that. It may be correlated to your overall economy, because again, that industry is losing people, which means that they're going to have less, they're being are going to be able to supply less people in the area with money, with spending, which means that the velocity of money is once again, and still has been, at a standstill. Okay. Why is that important? Because what's important in any economy is that money goes from my hand to your hand to somebody else's hand, and it keeps circulating around. And we keep spending it so that we're consuming goods and turning them over. I did a CNBC interview on Sunday night, and I said, you know, look, why? They asked me, why do you like oil? I said, because I like it because it's a consumable product, and at some point we're going to see a bigger demand. And the risk is much greater to the upside if you're short versus the downside if you're long. You have to face everything on some sort of a probability model to give yourself the best shot to make the most amount of money. I mean, that's what it comes down to. But, you know, none of these guys get this whole situation of the chain of events that occur when an industry or a business goes bad. You know, even if you go back to the trading floors in Chicago, you know, they're basically closed. I mean, they're like ghost towns. Think about all the restaurants that are down there, even the barbershop. I mean, I get my haircut down there, even the barbershop. Everybody's doing less business because they're spending less money. And the rents don't come down. And in fact, you know, we've said this on air before, we're in a rent bubble. So somewhere it's going to have to give. Somewhere somebody's going to get tattooed here. But at the end of the day, we all know who's going to have to clean up the mess and pay for all this stuff that everybody else created because the greedy pigs had to take care of it. So they didn't leave anything for us. And then, of course, what will happen is we'll get to take care of it again, as is the usual, because that's how the system works right now, because it's broken down. And of course, you know, with our elections coming up, you know, I don't know if Hillary wins, it ain't getting any better. And again, I don't know that Trump would be better. I mean, I don't really know. I think I do like Trump's ideas. I like what he says. Okay. I like that he speaks his mind. Okay. I don't always agree, but I do like that. I do appreciate the fact that he'll say anything to anybody. That I do appreciate. And I think that is a point to look forward to. But at the end of the day, we have to do something, which means we need our Federal Reserve and our government to get off their ass and try to take care of the problem that they have created. Okay. It is a nasty problem and it has to be fixed. And hopefully they will do something. Now, it's going to be painful either way. You know, don't think we're getting out of this in a minute. And this is going to be a long, painful recovery. But if it's handled right, we'll have a much better shot and it won't be as painful. It's going to be painful, but it won't be as painful if they do the right thing. Now, again, I tell you this because that's what's going to happen. I also tell you that you check out Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. Great platform. got great classes every day. They have what they call swim lessons every single day. If you miss a show, libertytalk.fm will get you the download of the show every day. It's on demand. In the meantime, you ought to check out my website, bubbatrading.com, and get yourself in that hedging program, because this is going to get dark and ugly, and I can help you protect. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will see you back here right after the break. The Bubba Show will be right back.
He's so delicious.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the only, Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, who has been en fuego, on fire. It's disheartening that he was so much on fire that he thought that we might jump the extra mile last week, but sure enough, we did. What's up, Matt?
How you doing, Todd? I'm good.
So last week when we talked, you said that you thought we were going to go lower. However, you said that it could see 1950 in the S&P, and we did get up to, I think, 1960 or 61, something like that, but and then turned around and actually closed at 1948, which would be below that. What's your take of the action, and what's your take of this week ahead?
We've gone as far as I wanted us to see. I mean, we even went past my line a little bit, as you said, so I'm bearish. I mean, I think the leg down is going to be this week.
Okay, so now you're
again this week.
What is your target now as a leg down from this move? I mean, obviously, you know, we get these ridiculous fear mongers out there who make stupid calls of, you know, ungodly numbers. But I know you and I look the same, and it's basically one level at a time. And you know, there's going to be an area, if we do get the sell off, that it's going to bounce from. And, you know, or if there is a new level on the upside in case we keep going higher. So where's your target here when you talk about the first leg down?
Well, minimum target down has to be the lows we already saw around 1810-ish, right around 1800. So I would see that would be a minimum target. So what I want to see once we get there is how oversold are our daily indicators at that point. My guess is we're going to go past it. So, you know, if indicators are still neutral to slightly overbought, then I'll be fairly confident in that. To get really good symmetry out of a move down, I'm thinking we have to get into the 1700s. So a plausible target is sort of mid-1700s. But I think that would be, for me, for my work, that would be the mid-1700s would be the minimum for me to be satisfied that maybe this selling is over, that this sell-off we've had since the beginning of the year is and actually going back to November is over.
Okay, so are you looking for this from your work? Does this look like it could be the final leg down if we do get the down move?
I think it could be. For me, the more and more I'm looking at this, the more I think of it as I could turn out to be wrong about this, and if we break supports, I will change my tune. But right now, I'm seeing this as a large correction, essentially, and not the beginning of a big bear market.
Okay, so your work states or feels for now. I mean, and again, you can only base it on the analysis that you use, and there is no right or wrong. I mean, obviously, we know that picking tops and bottoms long term is not really a possibility. It's based on the work that you do, and you give yourself the best opportunity to bring the probabilities to play, and that would be what you're doing. So your work is indicating that we could see one more leg down, and this would be just a correction, and we would resume the bull market.
Yeah, that's what my charts are saying. But it's like I said, if things change, if supports are broken, I'll start changing my opinion of it. One thing that's kind of bothering me a little bit about the move so far is up at the top in May of last year, the commercials, I always talk about the big banks and what they're doing. They were heavily short. They were short index futures, and they were heavily long volatility futures. We've seen what's happened. They've covered 80% of their volatility futures, and they're now about neutral. If you take the three major indices and put them together, they're essentially neutral stock indices. So, I'd like to see I'd like to be on their side. And what they're saying is they don't see a whole lot more downside either. So that being the case, that's not the only thing I go off of. I go off my, my patterns, those are much more meaningful to me. And they too are not saying we have to really begin a bear market here.
Right, but of course, and the difference between, one of the things I always look at, and again, you and I are more technical analysis, and you're using that as some information to help you make your final decision. But one thing we know for sure is the banks and those guys, they have a lot more staying power. Should they be wrong initially, they can almost kind of wait it out, kind of like the Warren Buffett's theory of just buying, good companies at discount prices. He'll wait it out, without having to worry about it. And that's something that, the average guy can't do. So, so the banks could, they held those short dollars for quite a while until they finally got the break, even though they were going back in their face. So that's something that's a little bit different between a big financial institution and an average everyday investor or trader, correct?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, we saw that in oil too. I mean, the oil just kept climbing, and they just kept shorting and shorting, when we were up in the hundreds. And, they kept taking losses until we had this massive move. One thing that, when it comes to equities, one thing about the commercials, I think they're pretty clued into the central banks. And, at some point, the connection between what the central bank does and, the equity market might fall apart. But for right now, if they're not overly concerned about the market dropping, the banks, and they're tied in with the central bank, like they're clued into what they're doing, that I entirely agree that they can, they'll build positions, they'll do various things, and they'll take losses for a very long time if they want to, and they do this quite often.
Right. I mean,
you get where I'm coming from with the.
No, I mean, I go back to the whale trade. This is a little bit off topic, but I go back to the whale trade. The guy from J.P. Morgan who lost $5 billion or whatever it was, but who knows how many trades he made, how many billions he made before it actually went bad and he got caught. And these guys can afford to sit back, and they're going to hold because, one of the problems in this country is that the banks get bailed out when they get into trouble. So, and they are part of the Federal Reserve. I mean, they do have either the big ones own part of the privately owned Federal Reserve, or they've got a keen ear into it, as you and I both commented in the past that, you'll see moves around these announcements, ahead of it by a few seconds. And so we know that it's not exactly, kosher, whatever you want to call it, but they will sit back and hold because, A, they've got enough money to do so, and especially in today's cheap lending environment, they can take as much as they need, so it's not like they're in a panic to get out. They're not like a normal everyday investor or trader who's, you know, like if you're trading and you're leveraging up a little bit, you know, it goes too far against you and you start looking at your equity and it starts going down, you have to start to worry about it and then you typically puke out. Whereas they'll just usually sit back and hold until, unless they become really wrong, in which case then they'll puke out as well. What do you say?
Well, I agree. And you're right. I mean, you know, they've been wrong in the past. I mean, they've, you know, I've gone through this, you know, historically, and I can't, you know, tell you, you know, each period by period, but they have been on the wrong side of, you know, big moves before. And so there's every reason to believe that we could fall further. It's only one indicator for me. I think that since, you know, 2008, since they got bailed out, I think they are, you know, the JP Morgans, Goldman Sachs, et cetera, I think are much closer to, you know, the Fed and you, like you said, they got bailed out. I think they just became more important and more, you know, systemic, more part of the, you know, entire system.
Well, I think the system is flawed, of course, but I think part of the things that I'm looking at is I say, well, Jamie Dimon's buying stocks. Now, is he buying stock because he really believes that JP Morgan is at a bottom, or is he buying stock because he wants to make sure he creates the illusion of things that are okay and wants everybody to believe that everything's okay? I mean, again, I personally forget about the technicals for a minute. I personally don't believe everything's okay. I believe there's a lot of issues that are unresolved and that will resolve themselves. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the equity market will go down. It just means that in the economy, there's issues here, and I see bigger problems ahead, and they are tied in directly to the Fed, and that's just part of the solution or the part of the problem that we have to deal with all the time, is that these guys do have, you know, basically what we would call inside information to help them guide them. But of course, they can sit back a lot longer and wait. Now, that doesn't come into your play because that's not, you know, you look at the footprint and that's really what your work you're focusing on, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we're in total agreement with what you're saying. And I think, you know, it's like we should do. We should just concentrate on this next leg down, and I agree with that. One step at a time. That's the easiest way, and you know, the clearest way to handle it. So, but as we were saying, I think, you know, we're looking at mid 1700s is the most likely minimum, you know, target low.
Okay, and I could see that. I mean, I think that again. I think there's, you know, the truth is people get nervous about it, but that's really healthy for the markets. You know, it makes for a better market, and if you're correct, it's a greater likelihood that the markets will not have that major collapse that people are looking for, because that would be more healthy. But of course, there is a little bit too much manipulation going on. But we're going to come back and get some more information from our buddy Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his website and know that he offers Bubba listeners a special subscription price. He's got great stuff as always. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. A lot of great articles, a lot of great products for you to help benefit your own trading. And if you ever miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm. Be among the hundreds of thousands of people that download it every month, giving you the edge in what's going on. And guys like Matt Demeter to help you trade better. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Check out his work. You've heard him here every week, and every week he's been pretty much on the money. And again, nobody can have a perfect track record, but I'll tell you what, last week he said, maybe we'll see 1950, and sure enough, we got up there, and it squeezed a lot of people, but certainly they did close below it, and we'll see what goes on from there. But Matt, I want you to explain something to everybody. Now, one of the parts of the work that you use is called the COT report, or the commitment of traders. How do you use that? What does it mean? Make the average guy on the street understand what that means.
So, you know, it's released, this report's released every Friday, and it has a cutoff of the previous Tuesday. So you have a fairly recent sense of what the big banks are doing. The big bank, there's split into three main categories. And the one that I focus in on is the one called the commercial dealers, and that's the big banks. That's who I consider the smart money. So I more or less want to be doing what they're doing in the markets they're in. It doesn't always work great in every market because, for example, we're talking about futures, and this report's just for futures. But you may be long, the S&P, or let's say you're long S&P stocks, and then you want to hedge, and you go to the futures market, and you short S&P futures. So in a market like that, you know the banks may be hedged. But in other markets, the futures market is their main way of trading something. So, for example, with gold and silver, futures are a big piece of how they trade gold and silver.
Okay.
There are other things. There's forward contracts, a lot of other things. But if you see, they use the gold and silver market to kind of control price. And as we've been talking about in the past few weeks, their short positions have become massive in gold and silver. So when I see something like that, it tells me, we should have a big down leg soon. And other areas would be U.S. dollar index, some of the currencies. But there's, copper's one. There's a variety of all the grains are good examples.
So where do you see gold going now? We've had a nice rally, a nice run up, and had a little action last week. But where do you see gold going now?
Gold, I think, is going to take a $100 hit at minimum to the downside. It's achieved important resistance up around 1240. In fact, it got past a little bit, but now it's back below. The short position on gold right now by the banks, it hasn't been this large since 2008, and they were heavy, heavy short in 2008. So they're going to want to see gold taken down pretty hard. So I'd say at least $100 lower, if not.
All right. I mean, I could see that. That wouldn't be the most unhealthy. I mean, we had a pretty big up move, so it wouldn't be so unhealthy to see it kind of filter back in and fill out. And then, obviously, you watch a lot of currencies, and I know that in your mind, the euro did some important work last week. What did you see there?
Well, euro just continues to sell off from about high 113s. It's now 109. It's on modest support right here. I think it's going probably about 3 cents lower, down to about 106. The commercials were heavy long the euro towards the end of last year. We got long at the beginning of December, ran up 7%. Hit resistance, and at the same time we saw the commercials had gone from heavily long to neutral, and then they went to modestly net short. So at that point, we decided to sell our euro position and wait until we fell back to support and until the bank started getting back in again on the long side.
All right, so are you starting to see that happen a little bit, or are you still waiting for them to get in?
Well, they're not. They've gone from net short now to neutral. And like I said, I think we have another 3 cents to the downside. And at that point, I think we'll see that the commercials are getting long again.
Now, you've been doing this for a long time, and you're an excellent, technical analysis and, chartered market technician. And, of course, we didn't see last week a lot of reaction when China was really under heavy pressure. We didn't see that same pressure follow through the U.S. markets. And, of course, that's what my theory and your theory are. It doesn't really matter. It's really the footprint of the market that you're watching is what's important. Yes, markets are correlated, but still the individual chart will tell you what's going to happen or what you should expect in that particular market. Were you surprised that we didn't see any pressure when China was getting cracked?
Yeah, I was. I mean, we were down, 6% on Thursday, and it had almost no effect on our market. It was, we had been so correlated, and then suddenly nothing happened. China did land on, frankly, I'm just surprised. Yeah, I am surprised. China landed on support. It then bounced. If we crack the lows so far. Maybe I already think the U.S. markets are overbought and ready for a catalyst. So, you know, China could easily be still overbought even after the 6% plunge it had. So it's very plausible this week we will see China make new lows and it will drag down the U.S.
Which would make sense. Now, I've been arguing on air that, you know, everybody's on this new crude goes up, market goes up, crude goes down, market goes down, and they're continuing to bang on this correlation between the two. Okay, I say bullshit. They're not correlated, but anything for any particular short period of time could be correlated. I mean, I've used the example that a chart of cotton candy and a chart of the Dow could be correlated for a couple of weeks. What's your say? Am I right or wrong?
Well, you know, I think there is some sort of short-term correlation because if enough people think so, then, you know, it tends to happen. But I think it's fleeting. I don't see why there's a... I mean, you could make the argument about, you know, junk bonds, you know, and how, you know, a lot of these oil companies are in distress and how that's going to affect the, you know, the corporate bond market. I mean, it's plausible that there's a connection, but I'm with you in the big picture. I don't think this is, if there is a correlation, I think it's fleeting.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of times, and this is a problem, and this is why you need a guy like Matt to sort out the noise, is that you get these TV guys that keep saying that it is, and you begin to believe it. And then, of course, until you get in and try to trade against it, and then, of course, the correlation goes away. I am 100% against the correlation. Again, for any certain period of time, I can see that. But overall, I never see a correlation because every market is independent to its own. It's like a coin flip. I mean, you know, heads or tails. I mean, it's a mathematical problem, not a direct correlation. But there are for any short period of time, and not the law of large numbers, that can be a possibility. And that's what I always think, Matt, is, you know, I mean, I would say, though, that the bond market and the stock market are correlated and supposed to be the opposite direction. And that's one of the things I think we saw last week is the bonds tried to rally a couple of times, even though the markets were higher. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we talked about rates, and I think that rates are very close to an ultimate, like a 35-year bottom. And, you know, I think that, and that's one of the things that makes me think, I don't know what it's going to be, but I don't think the 10-year rate is going to go below 1.4%. I think that's the bottom. I don't think it's possible we can go any lower than that. But that's, you know, that's my opinion. Everybody has one.
Well, no, I mean, and I'm sorry, I got to cut you a little short because we are at the end of the day, and this is Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. He did call for a turn in the bond market. He's giving you 1.4% in the 10, which goes correlates with me because I said 1.5. We would see it this year. This is The Bubba Show. We are with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his publication. He gives Bubba listeners a special break. This is The Bubba Show. Check out the on-demand series at LibertyTalk.fm. That'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.